garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice that I hear falling on
no. Amen. I don't know how many of you have walked early in the morning in your neighborhood. And if you walk early, you'll see that sometimes nobody's out there but you. And you see dew on the grass. But when you're alone, sometimes the Lord speaks to you. And that's what I like about that song. He said when he's alone, he can hear a small, sweet voice saying, he walks with me. And he talks with me. But what I like about it, he tells me I'm his own. But oh, the joy that I get from talking with him is like no other joy. I know I had joy yesterday when I helped my 5-year-old great-grandson have a birthday party at a swimming pool. I was full of joy, but it's nothing like the joy that we receive when Jesus walks with you and talks with you and tells you he's your own. I want to thank the choir. I want to thank Judy, call to worship, Linda for the altar call, and Brother Al for scripture. Brother Al got caught up in the moment. He read the wrong scripture. Not only did he change translation, he changed the scripture. But that's all good. But later, I will read the scripture for today. The scripture was found in Luke 2. Luke 2. And I'll be reading from verses 25 to 44, King James Version. And it reads, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, but he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, mother, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, and also that he thought of many hearts may be reviled. And I'm going to skip down to 41, and it says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they required, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and their acquaintance. Let us pray. Lord God, Father of Jesus Christ, and our Father, this pulpit is not mine but yours. And so the voice and the word should be, let nothing here be said that does not begin with the gospel of your Son and end in the life conforming to your will. Speak to me that I may speak for you. Speak through me that I may speak to those who wait to hear your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In 1975, there was a certain copywriter named David Ogilvy, and he developed the Don't Leave Home Without It, Without Them campaign for American Express. Who was the face of American Express for over 25 years. And after he left the American Express, they continued to use celebrities such as Mel Blanc and other celebrities to promote the American Express card by explaining that being famous didn't get stars everything without paying for it. But by being a member of American Express, it was like being the next best thing. And in 2005, the slogan changed with each celebrity. And they concluded with the celebrity saying, reminding the viewer, don't leave home without it. Don't leave home without it. It has become one of the most memorable lines in advertising history. Well, that's all good news. It's good information, but this morning, by using the thought of don't leave home without him, using for its subject, traveling without Jesus. If you allow me a few moments, I would like to cite evidence in this world on how we travel all the time without Jesus. We make our decisions on things like, who do we date? What kind of car can I buy? What area should I buy a house in? What church should I join? What college should I attend? Getting on the expressway, Waterston Expressway, and doing rush hour. Not saying, Lord, give me traveling grace, because if you know, getting on that expressway, you're going to see road rage. You're going to get, what they call it, flipped. Yeah, you get flipped. Especially when you won't let somebody in, or they think you're going too slow. Well, should I move in with my boyfriend or girlfriend to save money? How to address someone who has hurt us? And after all fails, then we consult the Lord. Lord, help me. Help me out of this mess I got myself in. In our text this morning, found in Luke, the second chapter, verses 44, and it reads, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinfolk and their acquaintance. There are three things that I would like to share with you this morning. And the first point is, we all have good intentions. Good people go without Jesus. The people of the text, they were not only good people, but they were the parents of Jesus. They thought he was in the crowd somewhere. They wanted him on a journey with them and would not have been on the road at all without Jesus being with them. They were good people, and they had been to church. They had taken active part in the church. They had gotten their praise on. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about. They got their praise on. They were moving. They had their praise on, and they had left, not realizing that Jesus wasn't in their company. These people traveling without Jesus should be enough to let us know that it takes more than good intentions to make it in this life. Good people can be wrong. And seeing, in this case, Jesus was the son of Mary, but she was traveling without him. It begs the thought, well, how careless can church people get? They merely supposed him to be with them, but they did not know he was not present. Had they been looking for Jesus and stop supposing he's with them, and after they have traveled a day without Jesus, that day could have been a long time. It could have been a year. It could have been a month. They were supposing that he was with them. To suppose is to lay down a hypothesis or assumption It's to expect or be inclined to believe, to suppose it, to think, to be a thing, to be true, without putting to a test. Jesus is good for us. Just supposed to heaven. He is too important for us. Just think. To think he is with us. We all should know when Jesus is not with us. And my second point is that we can travel without even knowing he's not with us. Many of us are traveling without Jesus because in our own minds we feel that we are in control. Many Christians are traveling without Jesus because the sun is still shining in their lives. Bank account looking good. Fine homes. Fine cars. Marriage is great. Children doing great. No problems being in the street. Good grades in school. Good health. While everything is lovely, they are not conscious of the fact that God not being with them. It's hard for us to feel the need of God as long as everything is in our favor. But let sorrow, pain, sickness, loss of job, money get funny. Your kids are in trouble with the law. You are facing marital problems. Can't get along with your family. Can't get along with the church folks. You'll find that as old age creeps up on you, you begin to realize that you need Jesus. And you'll find yourself singing, I need thee every hour. Precious Lord, take my hand. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me while I'm on this tedious journey. I need you to walk with me. And then you hear him singing, through it all, I trust in the Lord. But every now and then, I'm here to tell you that we ought to stop and take a spot check to see if Jesus is traveling with us in this life. Traveling without Jesus. My third and final point is we have the ability to go back where Jesus is. I don't know where you left Jesus, but you can do like many. Look among your kin folks. Look at your acquaintances. Look at where you were last night. Look at where you may have been where you shouldn't have been. But what I'm trying to say, if you don't find him there, go back to the church. And when you get there at the church, that's where you left him. See, we get caught up sometimes in a church we get to singing and we get caught up in the Spirit and we get our praise on and we forget about where we've been. But soon as we get on that parking lot, soon as we get on the telephone, we forget about Jesus. So what I'm trying to say is, take him with you. Don't leave him at home. And then, in closing, I want you to know that the Lord is needed as we travel through this unfriendly world. We are going to need Jesus every day, every hour. We should take him along wherever we go. We will need him as a doctor. We will need him as a companion. We need him as a friend. When we move out in this mean, benighted world, we will need Jesus with us. We need him in us if we are to conduct ourselves in the right way and not go off on someone. Whoever you are, wherever you go, make room for Jesus to go along. Or you may get hungry. If so, he will be your bread. You may get thirsty, but he'll be your water. You may get weak, but he'll give you strength. If you're in darkness, he'll be your light. Jesus is all right for him to travel with you. When you're dying, he'll make up your dying bed. Don't leave him behind. And to those who have left him behind, go back and get him. Your journey cannot be happy nor complete unless Jesus is with you all the way. Don't leave home without him. And that's old song, Negro spiritual, that was sung. It says, I'm not going to sing it. Take the Lord with you. And it says that my mama told me when I was young, take the Lord with you wherever you go. This Christian race you're in, this Christian journey, is going to be rough. But take the Lord wherever you go. You have been talked about, but take the Lord with you. So put your hands in the Lord's hand as you travel, but take the Lord with you. When you're in the streets, take the Lord with you. If you're in your car, take the Lord with you. There's any more drive-by shootings, walking down the street in your neighborhood and getting shot. You better take the Lord with you. Every now and then, Brother Emmett, old engine lighter come on and said, check, air pressure. But we ought to have some minister that says, check, to see if Jesus is with him. Well, I can tell when I'm traveling by myself. I can tell when I've left him at home. I can tell because my wife would say, Larry, what's wrong with you? Don't act like that. And that's where it comes on that Waterston Expressway. But all I'm trying to say, as long as things are going good, as long as you got good health, as long as your family's okay, as long as you got food, as long as you're happy, it even says as long as your dog is happy. You know, you can tell when your dog's happy when you come home, his tail's wagging. And so you're not worried about nothing. But what I'm trying to tell you, take the Lord with you. Don't leave him at home. Don't leave him at church. Take him to the grocery store. Take him to the workplace. And you will be happy. You'll have joy knowing that you have Jesus traveling with you. At this time, we're going to ask Brother Johnny, will you come and give us our invitation hymn? Musicians, counselors, would you come?